Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, here at the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, streaming worldwide at cjsf.ca. Today I have a wonderful treat for you because we are going to hear from the artistic director of Vancouver, Canada's Choir Leone. It's a men's choir, and I'm going to ask him to tell us more because it's had a history of traveling and doing over 35 concerts a year to over 15,000 patrons. You have worked worldwide, but now you have a special program that is coming out for Christmas. So I'll ask you to tell us a little bit about that. But right now, without further ado, I'm going to bring on Eric Light.
Hello.
So tell us a bit about this, your pathway to getting to the program that we're going to be hearing this weekend.
Do you mean of like how specifically we've arrived at, you know, what this year's Christmas program is? Is that what?
Yes, but also how you've arrived from such a vast career over different.
Well,
you look too young to have such a long list of things.
Very long and boring story for people. But briefly, I was born in the U.S. I was born in the state of Wisconsin. And there I studied, sang in choirs and studied cello, went on into music school, went to St. Olaf College, a place very famous for their choirs. And while I was there, sang in the choirs there. And while I was there, also founded a professional vocal ensemble. We didn't start out as professional. It was just a group of people getting together to sing for fun. And did that for 15 years, toured all over the world with that ensemble and did that professionally, sang and was the artistic director. And then had worked with Choir Leone in Vancouver at a number of different festivals around North America. And the job came open and I just threw my hat in the ring. And I was like, well, we'll see what this is like. Didn't think, oh, maybe I'll move to Canada. What is this all going to be like? But it turned out I ended up really, through the audition process, really falling in love with the choir, falling in love with the organization, falling in love with Canada. And luckily, I got the job. And I am now in my 11th year with the choir. And we've recorded extensively, as you were kind of saying in the introduction. We do about 35 concerts a year with a volunteer choir, which is a pretty remarkable thing, and sing to usually over, you know, around 15,000 people a year, which is an amazing reach that you can have in a way that we can serve our city and be a part of our community through our song. And it's not a thing that's always afforded to amateur choirs. Maybe the symphony gets that, maybe the opera gets that, but that kind of reach into the community. But it's something that we are really, really proud of. We work really hard for, and we take really seriously, just that we try to make sure that all of our concerts and our singing is there in service. And I think that's super true of this time of year when you're giving Christmas concerts. Yes. People come to your Christmas concert, and in many ways I don't feel like it's my Christmas concert that I'm giving. It's the audience's Christmas concerts, because for many of them you are maybe going to make their holiday through this music that you're going to sing, and you're going to be that hopefully that impetus to bring a little bit of light, have the audience bring a little bit of light out into the world after the program, and are moved in the music in positive ways.
Speaking of bringing things into being, I understand you have commissioned over 300 new works from composers such as Lee Halby, Eric Essenvalls, Gerben Byers, Joyce Moloch. Why are you passionate about commissioning works of other musicians?
Oh, for so many reasons. So I'll do the selfish ones first. It's so much fun. You get to work with these incredible creative people, and where there was nothing before, then there is something, and something that you can share with the musicians around you and then share with an audience. And just that actual process for me is so rewarding, and you really get to connect with these other artists, and it's a chance for me to grow. But more than that, I think it's Corleone is a choir that I would say we sing all kinds of music, but our roots are in classical music. But classical music can be a lot of times a lot of dead white dudes, and they were singing about a lot of dead white dude stuff, and that was fine for them in their time and in their way, but that's not where we live right now. These are not that's not our times. So as we are commissioning new works, even when you're taking, let's say, even Christmas music, you're able to, I think, look at it at a lens of now. And I think that's really true of the program that we've created for this year. But you're also able to understand who your audience is, who your community is, and tailor these messages to ways that will meet the audience that is there, but also slightly challenge them, hopefully that they the music is immediate and wonderful and beautiful and accessible in all the ways that you want it to be. But then hopefully there's some little nugget that is new and challenges them, and they walk away maybe thinking about that in a little different way, or thinking about themselves, or thinking about the world in just a little bit different way. And I think that's a real, really, really important part of why you do music, new music now. That's not the scary thing that it used to be a long time ago, where it would just be a bunch of atonal screeching and whatever. But this is I find it really a way to connect to the purpose of now.
I'm happy that you mentioned that, because I show Suluau, Sulauau. Our audience can, we speak up so our audience can listen up and act upon what they've heard. And when you talked about this personal journey to feeling nicer or kinder about the world, is that part of your passion for being into music as a change agent?
Yes. And I want to that you ask a really big question there, I think these days, as I think a lot of artists have taken a lot of stock on the world and why we're doing what we're doing, and is this worth anything, or is this just for my own personal vanity, there is for me it's about impact. And I think that's the way that I would look at this. And that's a tough thing to measure. It's a tough thing to see. But what I try to in the work that I do is a few things. It's that with whatever my role is in all of this, just as we were talking about, like with the composers, is can I be a conduit? Can I be a facilitator? Can I be a spark plug? Can I be an engine? Whatever that needs to be, so that the people around me are feeling like they're doing some of the best work of their lives, some of the most meaningful work of their lives, that they're exploring aspects of themselves that maybe they didn't realize were even there, or find talents within themselves that weren't even there. That gives me that is absolutely a passion of mine. And that goes from, like, frankly, the business side of what I do with the organization to the singers themselves, the creative folks, working with lighting and sound people, all of those sorts of things. That gives me just great joy, is to watch others excel and to hopefully be lifted, and the ways that I can figure out to support them in all of this is that's a fun puzzle to figure out. That's the human puzzle, and I really enjoy that. But then I think the way that you've asked that question, I also think it's, you know, are we trying to be an instant or an act of change through the music? And I would say yes, but I think it's for my role and for who I am in this world, I definitely know that I'm an artist first, and it's that I do the art I try to make places where wonder and imagination can be let free versus me being necessarily didactic in how I talk about things. I think there's a little bit of art going on right now where we want to maybe teach too much, and mm-hmm. we want to tell people exactly how to think and feel about the things that we're putting on the stage or that we're painting or that we're singing about. I like to let that part of it speak for itself and to have possibly many layers of entry points for an audience that people can find themselves in the music. And again, hopefully there's change. Of course, there's, I have intents about what I, what I'm trying to program. And sort of my little secrets that I keep to myself as far as what I think all of it means. But that's, I don't think that's the point of art. I think the point of art is to create spaces where we can create more wonder and imagination and interconnectedness through that process. So those are the things that I'm passionate about.
So, you know, for people who might have said, oh, I don't like Christmas music, or I don't like classical music, walk us through what people will experience when they come into your program.
Well, first of all, I understand that. I understand those things. As somebody who maybe has to do Christmas music, I'm working on Christmas music in April, so that's what my life is. It never quite goes away. I do love it, I have to say, so I'm a bit biased that way, but I understand the points of all that. But first of all, we what Corleone is it's a choir. And so you are getting music that is coming from one human being to another human being. And many times, especially when we sing a cappella, the totality of that music is only coming out of our bodies. And if you go into a beautiful space like St. Andrew's Wesley Church, which has extraordinary acoustics, extraordinary architecture, we do wonderful lighting within that space to create, you know, just to create a space where people can find themselves and find that bit of repose. But I think if they enter into that space and hear this music sung in this way, sung as a choir, I just think choirs have a unique property. One is that it's coming from the human beings, but two, it's and maybe people don't think about this as much because if they're not church going people, which, you know, I'm not, but we think about it as that there's a choir up there. And so there's 65 of us, all 65 of us internalize, believe in everything that we, so that it comes authentic and it comes across. And so something very disarming in the bestest ways to think about that, of seeing 65 people united in one vision of presenting a text, of presenting music, and just doing that with their human bodies. So again, maybe you don't love every single carol we're going to sing, or, you know, and the other thing is we do far more things than classical music. There's hoedown music that's happening in this piece. There's pop song arrangements, et cetera, et cetera. And so it's quite a wide variety of musical styles and vocal styles, really. But I think hearing that come out of a choir, especially one as disarming and empathetic as Corleone, I think people will find a new way to listen to this music.
Okay, again, now tell us the location and where people can get tickets.
Sure. So the concerts are the 15th, 16th, and 18th of December. It's going to be at St. Andrew's Wesley Church. There are 6 performances, so 1 on Friday, 3 on Saturday, and 2 on that Monday. And you can go to corleone.org, corleone.org.
Oh, hold on a minute. And Paul just got his pin. So slow down and say it again.
Sure. The website for tickets is corleone.org. That's corleone.org. or just Google Corleone. You'll get it. And tickets are still available. There's great seats for all of the shows. And it's a wonderful way to share together, I think, at this time of the year.
And the name of the church?
St. Andrew's Wesley Church on the corner of Burrard and Nelson in downtown Vancouver.
And are some of the shows in the daytime, or are they all at night?
No, they're all over the time. So evening show on Friday. We have a new 11 a.m. show on Saturday, so you can go have a little brunch and get your carols on. And then there's a concert at 2 and 5 p.m., so afternoon shows on Saturday. And then on Monday, it's a 5 p.m. show and an 8 p.m. show. So that's kind great. Of all over the place, whatever floats your boat for Christmas.
And that's good, too, because sometimes we seniors don't like to be out so late in the evening. It's easier to get around, see what's happening. And as you said, stop and patronize the neighborhood food.
Oh, man. It's like I wish I didn't have to do as many shows sometimes so I could go. My wife gets to go to some of these shows, and she gets to go eat and go out with friends. And I'm like, oh.
I wanted to ask you again something about the makeup and difference in working with an all-male choir or ensemble. You know, what is special, or what do you find? Have you worked with male and female choirs, or just all male choirs? And I wanted to ask something about the specialness. You talked about the tonal range and how people are impacted by sound.
Yep. So a few things. Yes, I've worked with all kinds of choirs. Treble choirs, mixed choirs, TTBB choirs, lower voice choirs, and so that's been, it's been a wonderful blessing that I've had that chance to do that. Corleone was founded 32 years ago as a male choir, and as a part of how the world is really changing, we've changed our language around this. So we are just now Corleone. We're still singing the same music. We're still singing in the tenor, baritone, and bass ranges, but the gendered language and the sounds that we make, they for many, many years, they were just became a shorthand, and that they were interchangeable with one another. And frankly, it's just confusing, especially in these days when we're talking about gender in, I think, a lot more nuanced ways than we were maybe 10, 20 years ago. And so, we call ourselves you could call ourselves a lower voice choir or a tenor baritone bass choir. There's not really a good word for it that everybody fully understands. But yes, we're singing certainly out of the male choir tradition, and that's what it is. Is there something special to it? I guess I would answer that I've had the luxury and joy of working with lots and lots and lots of different kinds of choirs, different ages, single gender, you know, mixed gender, whatever that has been. And I would say that every group of people that I've worked with has their own, if they're doing it right, they create their own sense of esprit de corps and their own sense of community. And as the director, it's sort of my job to pick up on that and then reinforce the good parts of it, but not necessarily put all of the way that, you know, the ways that I think about things in front of them and make them sort of do and feel and think about things the way that I do. I think it's a much better way to go about it is to try to draw out what is special about each person and how and what that group then turns out to be. And then that said, I'll say that, in all my years of working, Corleone is the most special community of people that I've ever worked with. They're sensitive, they're caring, they're empathetic. They work so hard. They care about one another. Even sometimes they care about me. So it's a lovely place to be as a singer. And what we hope is that whatever we create as a community can then sort of radiate outwards to the audience, and that they can pick up on that and feel a part of that as well.
See that you've also been recognized that Corleone is now one of the best male chorus choirs on the continent. In the summer of 2018, you led Corleone to multiple awards and Grand Prix appearances at both the Singapore and the Bali International Choral Competitions. In 2020, your world premiere recording of When There Is Peace, an Armistice Oratorio, it was nominated for a Juno Award. Do you find, how do those things, those accolades make you feel?
They're nice. They're fine. They're fine. I think anybody that gets into this business, and they're doing it for those, lovely lines on your bio, as nice as they are. And I remember, as you say those moments, I remember like the actual moments when those things happened, and it was so much fun because you're sharing it with your friends, and it's lovely. But what is so much more important, at least to me, is that that the process is its own reward. The doing of this, the fact that I get to next Wednesday rehearse a dress rehearsal, and it's not just to be about like, oh, well, then we sold so many tickets for the Christmas show. Again, that's a nice thing, but it's the fact that I get and we get to enter into that music and get to be with one another in this way. So I think, yeah, you put that on your bio, but it's a much better way. I think it's a much more sane way to live too, if you are focusing on what is important in the now, which is doing the thing that you think you're on this earth to be doing. And so we try to make it its own reward.
I think, we talked about new music, how that makes people excited. It's not just, you said, old white men.
Dead white men too.
Dead white men. Somebody else commented on that. But new music, how, what, when you say new music, what does that mean to you?
Well, for me, because I'm so much of what Corleone's work is doing, and then thereby mine, it's like literally the first time it's ever getting heard. So, at the Christmas shows this year, there are two world premieres. One that I wrote, the opening piece of this, so it's music that's that no one has ever heard, and as well as a large work from Cameron Wilson, who's a composer and violinist and fiddler, who will also be joining us on the program, has written a beautiful new piece, all brand new music, but to words that I think a lot of people would recognize. It's all based on the text of "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," which, if you remember the words to that, that carol recounts the story of the angels coming down and telling us, I think, which is the greatest message of the Christmas season, which is peace on earth, goodwill toward all. And my goodness, what a better set of words for us to hear right now, and always.
And with so many shows, maybe people coming out humming it, singing it, just a line that it brings a smile, that it brings kinder words, because right now we're at a point where in people's subconscious, when they go to sleep or they wake up, having a little tune that they hum does help make, I believe, helps make the world more receptive to changing the way we speak to each other and changing the way that we expect the way to go and flow.
I think you're absolutely right. And there's a lot of studies that say music really bypasses a lot of our cognitive aspects and goes to a much deeper place in the brain. They've been doing the brain studies. And so when and I think also then when you yes, so pure music can do that. Listen to Mozart or something like that. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful music. But then when you have words with it that get attached to that, and if those words have resonance to you or the people around you or your situation, or just give you hope, they become maybe almost little mantras, I think.
Yes, I mean, I think mantras, but also activated beings. They're coming to the concerts, activating something that just makes people, as they come out onto the street or as they're talking to people and telling them about this wonderful concert that they've heard, it just lifts. If we can lift the vibration, that's a wonderful thing to accomplish.
It is. And we go out and greet our audience on the, like, we go out with the candles afterwards and are on the
Oh.
street greeting everyone. And that is such a joy to just watch people walking out. Sometimes there's little snowflakes falling and it's like perfect Christmas, that perfect Christmas scene. But again, with that smile on their faces and just a sense of gratitude, and you hear them, they walk away when their families are walking away, or people are walking away, and you kind of just hear this different sort of chatter between them. And what you kind of hope is maybe the music helped them
Yes.
find a little bit of that energy and that connection to one another.
If people go out to eat and they're talking, there's somebody at the next table or around, they'll say, "Hey, what is that you guys are talking about?"
That's right. That's right. And that's, I think, and you talk about being a part of change and creating change. All of this happens locally. The problems of the world, I think, are well beyond you or I. And so what you try to do is make that difference, maybe not so much in breadth, but in depth of who you hit. If you could, if I feel like I. Of the thousands of people that are going to come through at Christmas, if like really like 100 people got like really got the message that really needed to hear that, boy, I'll call that mission accomplished. That's
Yes.
a pretty special thing.
I hear and feel, the passion behind what you're saying, and that there are many ways of being an activist. We could be activists and march against climate change. We can be activists with placards, but the activists of coming up with something that keeps a person stirring, makes them feel just one little thought differently. Maybe I could be creative, or maybe I could give somebody a
That's
hug, or
right.
maybe I could give somebody I was going to ask you, is this work recorded anywhere? Is there a CD? Tell us how you can get it in that form.
Well, it's also a really wonderful thing that the choir does. So we offer for free concert films of all of our concerts. So we'll be filming three of the shows, then editing that together. And if you go to the same website, corleone.org, you can sign up and get an RSVP and be able to watch that show for free on YouTube, through our channel. And it's in 4K resolution, so it's like it looks like $1 million. The sound is incredible. We have incredible videographers. It's I think there's like nine cameras or something like that. So
Wow.
it's like watching a real, real, real concert movie. And so even the people that come to them live often take this away and go and watch it the days afterwards. Oh, I want to hear that. I want to hear that new piece. I want to hear it again. Maybe I really liked it, but I want to get it a little bit better. And so it gives them the chance to do that. But also because the camera work is so different than sitting in the audience, you get to see faces very up close on the screen and connect with the singers, I think, in a very different way. There's a beautiful, full feeling and immersive feeling of the live performance. But in some ways, what we've learned, I think, a little bit through the pandemic is that these screens can create very intimate experiences. You
Yes,
can watch this all by yourself and see faces in ways that you just wouldn't do that. And I actually really enjoy the fact that we're able to tell kind of the same story in two very different ways, in two very different mediums. It's quite a fun little challenge to see how these pieces work in both mediums.
I think we're going to work on playing a couple of pieces during the interview, so people could hear it at home, hear it and be inspired to come to the show, but hear it. And also, I don't think I've heard of any group who has a concert that tells you that you can go to the website and you can order a copy. They could say for $9.95 or $19.95 or $90, you can
I
have the whole
know, but
set.
wait, there's more. Yes. No, but again, this is part of what we're trying to do. We're a mission-driven organization, so this is a way that we can create access. We start our ticket prices at $20. That's about a movie ticket these days. Let's not kid ourselves. And so we're trying to create their student rush tickets for $10 so that the live experience is there for people. But we also get it, like, not everyone's free, not everyone can do it, but God bless the internet, or maybe that's a terrible thing to say, but it does allow us to create some access for people when and where they want to see that. We've got longtime patrons within the choir that aren't going out anymore for health reasons or whatever else, and it feels so lovely to get the acute note from people saying thank you for having this so that I could watch this at home and when I couldn't get out or whatever. It's a lovely way to just give.
Let's tell people the website again, and do they have to wait until after the live, until the whole series, past the 20th?
Yeah, the concert film will come out on the 23rd of December. But you can register for basically just get an RSVP and then you just get the link and watch it. So that's all you need to do. And you just need to go to corleone.org and click on the link for the concert film. It's on the main page.
So corleone.org.
Correct.
You're listening to Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We'll get right back to Charlotte's conversation with Eric Liked right away. But first, we're just going to hear a little bit of music by the Corleone Men's Choir, as mentioned by Eric. Their performances are recorded and made available online. This year's performances will be available on YouTube, which you can sign up for by going to corleone.org. Here's a little taste from a recording made last year by the Corleone Chorus. This is O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Oh.
That was O Little Town of Bethlehem, performed by Corleone, recorded last year in 2022. Corleone are performing their annual holiday concert called Christmas with Corleone at St. Andrew's Wesley United Church on December 15th, 16th, and 18th. You can find more information at corleone.org. And now back to Charlotte's conversation with Eric Leicht.
You know, sometimes I ask people that are in this industry, particularly singers and writers, musicians and writers, what do you think about the value of mentoring, having a mentor and then providing mentorship to someone else?
I think most people in life have people that they would call their mentors. And I know that those can hold incredibly special places in their hearts. I know I have those people that you just wouldn't be in that place in life, professionally or otherwise, without that guidance. And it's been a really something. It's an odd profession. So I'm 47 years old. I'm just starting. I'm just past the point where they call you young conductor. Even though 47 is not frankly that young, let's not kid ourselves, but whatever. It is turning into this place now that it's time for me to, for me to look to myself to give that back. And thankfully, in a number of ways, we've been doing that within the organization. Each year, we run two major educational programs. One is called My Voice, and that is open to anyone in the lower mainland that wishes to, that wants to sing in a tenor baritone bass ensemble. We have four locations, one in Surrey, one in Burnaby, one in Vancouver, and one on the North Shore. And so those are sort of local things. It's totally free. For 10 weeks, they'll work with me and with one of the other, some of the best music educators in the province. And we work with that. No experience is needed. 10 weeks with learning pieces. We bring those groups together and then they perform alongside Corleone and a pro group that we also create as part of our Big Roar Festival. And that's happening in April this year.
Can you again say the name of that program?
The program is called My Voice, MYVOICE. And that also there's links for registering for that on our website. So really, if there's any young singer that would want to sing in a tenor baritone bass ensemble, that is open. And it's a marvelous program. Those kids have just a riot. I have a riot with them. It is the most fun. We get Tim Hortons donuts for every rehearsal. I mean, come on now. You get to sing and eat donuts. What? They have died and gone to heaven. So that program is a really, really special one. And we usually have around 150 young singers in that every year, which is fantastic, both for what we get to do and even for audiences that come and see them perform. It is just an absolutely heartwarming and heart-thrilling situation to watch that. And then in addition to that, then we do what we call our Emerging Choral Artist Program. And that is a program for those singers that have had quite a lot of training and are maybe even thinking about singing in professional terms. And so that gives them a chance to come together as an ensemble. They get to work with me. They get to work with some of the best pro ensemble singers that we bring in from around North America, and have some real intense singing time together. And again, it's that mentorship, and it's a way to see that, oh, maybe there is a path there. Because again, if this art form that I believe in so much and it means so much to me is to continue, it must go on into the generations behind us all. And thankfully, I'm feeling that energy here. And it's been a really wonderful thing.
You know, Eric, I'm really glad that you mentioned that, because so often I hear people say, oh, don't nobody care about me out here, or there's no opportunity, or it's so hard. And yet, you know, you have this program. So having an opportunity to share the information is wonderful. CJSF is a college campus mm-hmm. station for Simon Fraser University. So being encouraging to music students there. Sometimes I ask, people in the cafeteria, people in the dining room, what do they think about their opportunities? And too many people have a dismal picture, you know. So I think coming to the show, you said the audience, I mean, the singers are going to be outside. Sometimes I suggest or ask, well, did you go up to anyone and tell them that you like what they did and ask, you know, how you might get in touch with them? How open are, you know, members of your group when you're out among people? If somebody, you know, gives you a business card or ask, you know, is it okay to contact you?
Oh my goodness! This choir is—they're almost notorious for being like so open and whatever. I think I mean, certainly here in town, this is always happening. Like, you know, we make T-shirts for the choir, whatever else. Now I'll be just like out and about wearing a T-shirt in the summertime. I totally forget that I'm wearing a Corleone thing. They're like, "Hey, that's Corleone. Are you in Corleone?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm in Corleone." And it, you know, it's the conversation spark from there. But some of the best stories I have of when we've gone on tour and we will go to countries that we've never been before, start singing the first concerts, and lo and behold, people, like, we went on a tour and people were like quitting work and like following the choir around from town to town just to like hear us and hang out. And it was just this most amazing thing. But that is again the gloriousness of the singers within the choir, that they reach out in that way, and it matters to them so deeply that their music makes an impact. And I think a lot of amateur choirs, they're there because they want to sing the songs that they want to sing, and they want to sing it with the people that they want to sing it with. And Corleone certainly has a little bit of that too. But this group, even when I took over for the over this group 11 years ago, they were a group that wanted desperately just to connect with its community and to make it better. And that is such a such an affirming place to be. That is, especially as a conductor, with the feelings that I have of what's important in life, why we do any of this stuff. When you're around a group of people that shares that, it's quite intoxicating.
Intoxicating.
With no, well, you kind of get drunk on this feeling of just sharing, and it's like you kind of feel bubbly and a little loose, and it's like, yeah, that's, I think I chose that word correctly. Yeah.
An intoxication that won't have you your
very few hangovers
taken away. Yeah.
Good on the liver too. Yes,
mm-hmm. Right. You know, it's like it brings me in mind of that song. If you're happy and you know it, sing a song. You know, clap your hands, because joy is one of those other things that's infectious. You know, when people see people laughing, that's right, or smiling, it makes the person typically smile back. And at this time of the year, when there are many things to be down about, I think you're lifting and just bringing that energy out. You said there are only 100 people. Imagine 100 people as excited as you are out and among the populace.
that's the hope. But I also think you're right. This can be a really hard time for folks. It's super dark out. We live in Vancouver. It's rainy, atmospheric rivers going through, whatever else. And mental health issues can be a real challenge. And I also think it's doubly so because at least what sort of capitalism in at Christmas time tells you, this is the time for joy. You ought to be happy. Why aren't you happy? And if you aren't happy, that can be quite a challenge. And so again, I think part of what I try to do, and I don't know if you never know if it's successful or not, but is to create a space within these concerts where maybe a little bit of that darkness is acknowledged, mm-hmm. but, and I think by acknowledging that, then you can embrace those people, and then hopefully then the music can then move beyond that and into some joy. But I think if it's just holly jolly Christmas and tinsel and all the rest of it, and maybe sort of the plastic parts of what Christmas can be, I think that, and if you're not feeling that, oof, that can be rough. I think that can be very, very challenging.
Well, also, you know, what's really wonderful about you having the video that people can see of the concerts of the program, compared with the commercials about joy, behind joy is a giant Bear, it's skates, or it's a subscription to a new, you know, subscribe only for $9.99. You can have a subscription to this. So there are all these movies, there are all these songs, only $9.95. And you're not saying, you know, send us $9.95 and you can get a copy. I think that that just, it puts out something that other people might want to emulate. And it also allows people, you know, as they're visiting people in a hospital or any places, that if they have a device that they can play it on, that's
right.
another way of just lifting.
And it'll just stream on your phone. So, I mean, it, again, this is like, this is the wonder of the time that we live in. It is akin to magic, I think, some of what we are able to do. And I think about when I started off my career and the ways that you had to jump through hoops to be able to share your music with people.
Right.
And now we can just do this ourselves. It's
yes.
incredible.
Yes.
It's incredible.
Yes. Yeah, so we've been, there's another group that I was talking with called Eco Wisdom. And this group trains people in nature healing and also in contemplating music, contemplating art, contemplating. And so that idea of sharing, encouraging people, if you have something that's playing and people hear it, or you willingly give it to them, it lifts the tempo. It can really make people feel like they can get through a day. It's one of those things that research has shown that like walking 2 hours in nature, being among the trees, lifts your immune system, helps your immunity, helps people deal with, rearrange the things within the brain, the receptor sites for pain versus the receptor sites for joy. So I'm just so excited that you're contributing to that. And at one point, I'd like to have you discuss some of these things, the healing and nurturing value of music with people who are talking about nature and talking about contemplative creative arts and contemplative communications. Because
it's interesting you say that, because these are the sorts of things that again, I'm a musician, you know, I know how to do this. I know how to put this together, and you hope for those healing things, but oh my goodness, I am no expert in any of that. Again, it's like, it's what you hope is the outcome for all of this. But certainly that's, you know, not my point of research or expertise. I would leave that conversation to somebody far smarter than I.
But no, I mean, as a provider, when you talk about how the voice, the vocal tones, how those tones make people feel, how it makes even the choir, you know, they come out of the building to be among people. They're not rushing to get, you know, into their car, slam it and jet down the highway. You know, it's just the practical that there's someone actually applying and creating this along with people who are studying it and encouraging people
and
to do things like that.
What's interesting is that, I mean, there was basically one major case study in my life and in my career of when you take that music away, and that was the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't singing together.
Right.
And I know firsthand how hard that was on, I mean, it was hard on the world. But for my singers, for me, those Wednesday nights rehearsals were a refuge. Being around that sound, that knowing that you're connecting with somebody, maybe you're not going to always have like the most in-depth conversation with them, but you know, if you're really breathing together and singing together, that you're connecting on a really deep level. When that was taken away from us through the pandemic, we were all very much suffering. And I've never seen the sort of the personal deterioration of a lot of individuals, and me included, during that time. It was a challenge. And I remember kind of one of our first smaller rehearsals back. I had to put together a smaller ensemble. We found a church that would let us in, and we sang super spread apart, and you know, we didn't talk to each other or whatever else, but we were in the same room making music. And it was like, you hear stories of when people have like a vitamin deficiency, right? So they, you know, something's going on in their body, and they're like, they're vitamin D deficient, and they go in and get that infusion, and it's like within 30 minutes, they feel like $1 million. And that was us. We wow. got our infusion and you could just see it. We were just all jumping out and afterwards. And you just like, we got our fix. It was, it's for people that, for who that are passionate about this. There's just no other way to get that high, other than that making of music with one another and with our voices.
Well, I'm so thankful to have had you as a guest, Eric Light, the artistic director of Canada's Choir, Leone Men's Choir, inspirational spirit, philosopher, joy maker. I'm so thankful for the time that you spent with us this morning. As we go out, we're going to play a little bit of music samplings from the program. And I just encourage everyone who's heard the sites today, go on and get your tickets, tell people about the program, and be prepared to be surprised. I'm looking forward to going, and just thank you so much. And encourage the people that have heard about the choirs and the program for children, get them in it, because music does make a difference. We hear all day about how we need to watch children for stress or watch children for depression. We should say, watch out for listening. Yeah. Show somewhere in those pictures. And I think just doing it as people, more than 100 people will be inspired by what they hear to look at ways in their work that they can raise the tempo, raise the joy.
Thank you very much.
has been Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon. Just wanted to tell you, you know, we come on each week at 10, but when people ask me what time it is, I say it's always love time, poem time. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C. Love time, poem time, love time, poem time, love time, poem time, time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets and singers. Time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time, time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love.